This is 89.1 KUAR. We'll break into the takeaway so that we can bring you today's live press briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson and Dr. Nate Smith, head of the Department of Health, to give the latest on the COVID-19 health crisis in the state. At this point, the Department of Health reporting 333 confirmed cases in the state. There have been two deaths. We'll find out shortly what the governor has to say. This comes as a special session of the Arkansas legislature is underway. Started at 1 o'clock, the Arkansas House meeting at the Jack Stephens Center here on the campus of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. The Senate meeting over at the state capitol, all intended to allow social distancing so that people don't get too close to one another. Lawmakers working to address an expected $353 million shortfall in the state budget because of businesses that have been closed and the state revenue that's not expected now to come in to the state. And the governor's now walking in. Let's listen live, Governor Asa Hutchinson on KUAR.
Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us for this latest COVID-19 update. This has been a little bit busier than normal because of the convening of the special session of the legislature. I gave an address to the House that's meeting in an unusual location. It's very historic. The Senate is meeting as we speak as well. In terms of the update today, yesterday we reported 280 cases in Arkansas. Today that number has increased to 335. Two new counties have been added, Lone Oak and Randolph counties. One thing that I want to start watching more carefully is the hospitalizations. As we track that, I think it tells us where we are, the number hospitalized in comparison to the number of cases, and the future needs that we might have. And so this includes 41 hospitalizations within those 335 cases that I mentioned. The directive that I mentioned yesterday in terms of social gatherings of 10 or more in terms of prohibition for indoors, and the more specifics on that has been issued and that will be available to you, followed by the public health directive that will be issued simultaneously this afternoon. With that, I'm going to recognize Dr. Smith for his comments, and then we have a rather full agenda with a very significant announcements for our hospitals and healthcare workers. And after Dr. Smith makes his comments, I'll be delighted to recognize some of our additional healthcare officials in a room that include Secretary Sidney Gillespie that is here, Dennis Smith, Senior Advisor for Medicaid and Healthcare Reform, Bo Ryle, Executive Director of the Arkansas Hospital Association is here, Dr. Cam Patterson, who Chancellor at UAMS, will have a report also on some of our PPE, Philip Gilmore, CEO of Ashley County Medical Center, and then Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association is here as well. And so following Dr. Smith's comments, then we will have additional information that we want to provide.
Dr. Nate Thank Smith you, now, Health Secretary.
I wanted to give a few more details on some of the numbers that the governor just provided. Of our 335 cases, we have two new counties, Lone Oak County and Randolph County. Of the 335, 14 are children, 18 or age of 18 or less, 108 are older adults, 65 or older, and then 213 are adults aged 19 to 64. The gender distribution remains the same, with about 60% female, and the racial breakdown is pretty similar to what it's been, 15% African American, 80% white, and then the remainder other. As the governor mentioned, we have 41 hospitalized. That's up from 12 I reported yesterday. Part of that is that we have we're using a different way of collecting that information from the hospitals. And I'd like to ask, particularly from the hospitals, if they would be very vigilant about putting their information into our have bed system every day so that we'll have a real-time assessment, not just of the number of COVID-19 patients there, but what our bed capacity is from day to day. That's very, very important for us in our planning, and so I want to encourage the hospitals to be vigilant with that. We have 13 currently on ventilators. That's up from four yesterday. Again, we're using a better methodology for collecting that information, so that's part of the reason for the increase. We have 42 in nursing homes. We have, that's one additional resident in the Whitehall nursing home and one additional worker at the Briarwood nursing home. We have, unfortunately, one additional death, so we're at a total of three deaths, all in the Central Arkansas area. And then we have 13 who are recovered, who meet that definition of recovered. And I want to talk about that just for a moment. Those who have recovered, we're asking them if they would be willing to donate plasma at some point. One of the more promising approaches to treating critically ill patients with COVID-19 is to give them plasma from those who have recovered because it has antibodies that can fight the virus. Obviously, the plasma has to be processed and tested so that it's safe to give, but that's a promising strategy. And hopefully, as we have more who are recovered, some of them hopefully will volunteer to donate plasma to a center that can process it appropriately and make that available to critically ill patients with COVID-19. And with that, I'm going to conclude my remarks and turn it back over to the governor.
And we will have an opportunity for questions of Dr. Smith and others following the additional announcement that we want to make today. Today, I'm announcing an initiative that will directly address the COVID-19 crisis and the burden it has placed on our rural hospitals and other healthcare providers. This is geared toward this emergency specifically. This plan will provide improved access to care for Arkansas citizens and will keep the doors of Arkansas's healthcare providers open and their workforce employed. Healthcare today cannot be delivered just like it was 2 weeks ago. Hospitals, clinics, pharmacies, residential facilities have to re-engineer their practice patterns to protect the lives of their patients and their employees in new ways that are consistent with this public health emergency, which is not the same way we delivered medicine again 2 and 3 weeks ago. So the plan that I will outline will be effect during this public emergency, but it will have lasting benefit and accomplish lasting changes in our healthcare industry. The plan includes several major parts that we're going to try to identify those on the screen, but I will go over those. First of all, these are proposals for financial support. One will be capital improvement payments to certain hospitals, independent physicians, rural health clinics, and behavioral health agencies for, we call them environmental modifications, but that would be drive-through test sites, building isolation areas, things that are needed during this particular time of emergency. The second part of it is a second bullet, which is financial support for workforce safety and training for providers for whom it is necessary to continue to provide face-to-face services. Some can be done by telemedicine, some has to be done by face-to-face. That needs more training and safety provisions. This payment is flexible to meet the priority needs of the healthcare provider. For example, it could be adding extended hours to clinic hours of operation. It could be shifting work hours to accommodate sick visits versus healthy visits. The third item that is listed is the expansion of telemedicine and non-emergency transportation to keep patients connected to their medical care. Telemedicine and transportation are key to expanding access to medical care in today's environment. Fourth, would be additional payments to support, and listen very carefully because I particularly think this is important as well as all the rest of them, additional payments to support nurses. This will be an additional $1,000 a month, $250 a week, for non-physician direct care workers, primarily nurses, and $2,000 a month for non-physician direct care workers who are in a facility treating COVID-19 patients. We're going to need these healthcare workers, and they're at risk. We want to make sure that they are incentivized to be there in addition to their public-mindedness. And so this will be a direct support for the nurses and will help in the recruitment of those nurses to these at-risk facilities. Fifth, a COVID-19 payment to nursing facilities that care for a disproportionate share of individuals being treated for COVID-19. In other words, this could be temporary housing for individuals who are homeless. This could be any facility in which there's a high percentage of individuals being treated for COVID-19. They need some additional financial assistance, and this would provide that. If we go to the next slide on funding, that might be a question some of you ask about. Now, there's more items on here because this is, I listed the five high points. There's more high points in this initiative. This includes for the environmental modifications of hospitals, $15 million, to modifications for community providers, $16 million, workforce training and expansion of telemedicine, $19 million, homelessness initiatives, $5 million, uninsured patients, which will make sure that's the gap right now. That we have our Arkansas Works, we've got other insurance, but if there's uninsured, $1.4 million for that. And then you have additional for the, we call them cluster payments, but it would be for the high concentration of COVID patients, $3 million. For the long-term care workers, that's the direct assistance, $55 million. And foster parents that Secretary Gillespie might explain more, but they're taking someone that's totally unknown to them into their home. They don't know where they've been. And so that's an additional compensation for foster parents. I emphasize that this is during this particular public health emergency. I believe that all these measures are justified and needed during this time. That totals, as you can see, $116 million. Of this, because of Congress's passing the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, there's a temporary increase in the federal share of 6.2 percentage points. So that will help us with increased federal share. Our estimate is that of this $116 million, the federal portion will be everything except for $25 million. So we expect $25 million to be the state portion of this. This will be adjusted from other Medicaid dollars. It will not be general revenue, but it will be an adjustment, and Secretary Gillespie, of course, can answer any specific questions in that regard. But I want to applaud my healthcare team, both Secretary Gillespie and Dennis Smith, who has worked on this tirelessly in a very creative way, because what you see here is innovative. It is not what all states are doing. In fact, I don't think any state is doing what we're doing. It does require a waiver from CMS, our federal authorities. Dennis has spoken to them. They like it. They're going to fast track it. I've written to the president. I've written to Secretary Azar, and we expect a response very, very quickly so we can get this additional assistance to our healthcare workers as well as to our hospitals. And with that, Secretary Gillespie, if you would come to the microphone, followed by Dennis Smith.
This is Cindy Gillespie, Department of Human Services.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you for your leadership in all of this. I won't take but a second because I think the Governor went over this very well. The focus we tried to take in this set of proposals aims at that part of the healthcare industry in our state that is really at this time on the front lines, but also really struggling because they're being hit by an increase in what's coming with COVID-19, but at the same time, their normal business has gone away, and they're having to completely change the way they do business. This is particularly exacerbated out in the rural areas of this state, where they're having to turn on a dime and change what they do. So we've really looked at this from two aspects. One, who are the providers that are there that don't have large capital assets, that don't have a way themselves to quickly make the changes that are needed in order to be able to work with COVID patients, train their staff, do what's necessary? And so that's why these proposals provide one-time funding for hospitals with 65 beds or less to be able to make modifications for, as he said, rural health clinics, independent practice physicians. That is a group whose world has changed a great deal. Their normal practice is not coming in right now because we are asking people to stay home unless they really need to go in, not to do elective surgeries, not to go in just because they have sniffles. And yet they now have to train their staff. They have to change their hours. They have to work in telemedicine. They've got to make these adjustments. So we're also including an investment in here, as he said, around telemedicine to help put in place more telemedicine resources around the state. Those will survive this period, and they will be of use long term. It's both the training and the infrastructure around telemedicine, which will be of great help. We have other components of our Medicaid system that can now help out in ways they didn't before. A simple example of community connection support here. We have a lot of providers in this state that provide non-emergency medical transportation for people who need to get to the doctor. But right now, a lot of those routine doctor visits are not taking place. So they are there and they can help. So we will be changing so that they can provide other services. For example, instead of picking someone up and taking them to the doctor, maybe they go pick up their prescription and take the prescription to them so they don't have to leave the house. Elements like that. And then, as he said, those workers that are on the front line doing a lot of the day-to-day work with patients, those in our nursing homes, the nurses, the CNAs, the direct care workers. Think of the in-home health workers, those people who provide personal care in the homes of individuals in this state. They go into those homes every day. If they don't go into those homes, you have people who cannot take care of themselves. So those workers will all receive this extra payment weekly in this period of time. And as he said, it's $250 a week extra for those who are working full time, unless they're in a facility where there actually is COVID, a COVID-19 case, at which point it raises to $500 a week or $2,000 a month in an additional payment to them. This is a dedicated workforce. They're doing amazing work in this time. So, The foster care initiative that the governor mentioned, our foster parents in the state have been absolutely wonderful. And they are really doing an amazing job still holding and loving the children that are out there in this period. And so recognizing they have additional burdens on themselves because daycare is not happening in some areas. They are having to take care of the kids. They are having to do other things. We are going to provide an additional payment to them each month of $500. So there's a number of different pieces. The homelessness piece, just to mention that, is something that would be done in partnership with a city that wanted to partner with us. The city would come forward and the city would do an agreement with us, and we would then help the city using their funds draw down federal monies to be able to temporarily provide another form of housing for the homeless, because they're in congregate housing right now. And at this time, you want people to not have to be in congregate housing. You want them to be separated. So it's a range of initiatives, but they all tie to the unique situation here in Arkansas and really look primarily at those direct care workers and our rural hospitals, our rural physicians, and the providers in our rural areas.
Thank you, Secretary Gillespie. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted Rachel Bunch from the Executive Director of the Healthcare Association to talk about it from her perspective as to what this might mean.
This is 89.1 KUAR, listening to a live briefing from state officials.
I'm Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association. I represent long-term care facilities across the state who are working harder than ever to provide care round the clock to our frail elderly Arkansans. And we'd especially like to thank the Department of Health for their constant collaboration during this time, being available all hours of the day and night for phone calls and guidance and assistance to our facilities as we charter this unknown time. Also like to thank our federal delegation who's been so supportive of us in assisting the work that we're trying to do here, and DHS, as Director Gillespie just stated, and to Dennis, of course. We have some exciting news today, and we are so excited on behalf of the long-term care providers, the nurses who are on the front lines, the CNAs who are there. I can tell you just how hard they are working to take care of those elders right now, those who have been affected and those who we're hoping and praying are not affected by this virus. And so we look forward to working on the details of how this will impact long-term care facilities, but we are so excited and so grateful for this message today and this news that we will be able to give this incentive to the true heart and soul of our facilities, the direct care workers. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. And now Bo Ryle with the Arkansas Hospital Association.
Thank you, Governor. And I want to say particularly thank you, Governor, for this funding that we're about to have for rural hospitals. It is desperately needed, and it will be well received by the hospitals of Arkansas. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for all you're doing with the health department. We're in constant communication with you, and you're doing excellent work. And I want to show our appreciation to Secretary Gillespie, Dennis Smith, because I know they've worked very long hours to find this funding and get it to rural hospitals. We certainly need it, and we also want to make particular attention to the recognition of the nurses and the healthcare workers. Those are the real heroes, and thank you to those of you out there who are working in the trenches on the front line. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bo. And Philip Gilmore is with the CEO of Ashley County Medical Center and president of the Arkansas Rural Health Partnership. Philip.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you for your leadership and being proactive in this, and the timing of this couldn't be better. And so I want to thank Secretary Gillespie and Special Advisor Dennis Smith, and they're reaching out and going forward and looking of ways that they could help us in the rural areas, and there are many rural hospitals, and there's so many needs that we have out there, and the funds that are coming through this are going to be a great asset to save lives. It's also going to be a help to our workers and our team, and on behalf of all of our team players in Arkansas, all of our rural hospitals, and all of our hospitals, I say a great thank you for all that's been done here. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gilmore and I, we were on a conference call the other day, and some of the hospitals were talking about making sure they were in a position to do payroll. So this is something that is much needed in terms of cash flow. And I want to come back to Dennis now and then Dr. Patterson, but Dennis, if you could tell us a little bit about the process in order to get this approved. And again, Dennis is a well-connected national leader in this, so we're lucky to have him here.
All right. I'm thoroughly embarrassed, but thank you, Governor, for your leadership. Secretary Gillespie, again, for empowering us to come up with this initiative. First, let me stress one thing, which is we are doing something that otherwise Medicaid would not pay for. The things that we are talking about in these environmental modifications for these rural hospitals, for independent practitioners, for the homeless, for what we are doing is not otherwise allowed under Medicaid. That is why we are doing this waiver in the first place, this demonstration project. I think that it is also safe to say it is a unique approach to this, in that it is a very targeted approach, and it is one that the providers themselves, they will be able to tell us their priorities. One hospital may need to spend the money in this area, another hospital may choose to do it in a different area. So this is going to be in partnership with the providers. This is not The usual way Medicaid finances things, which are, again, very rate-driven, very inside the Medicaid box. This is getting outside the Medicaid box. So we, the governor has already signed the transmittal letter. It'll go to CMS today. We have talked about it with our federal partners, and we are hopeful for a swift and favorable approval. Thank you, Governor, again.
Thank you, Dennis. And Dr. Cam Patterson is not with a rural hospital, but no one supports rural hospitals more than the UAMS system. And so I'll make a comment, but also talk a little bit about the PPE status.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Patterson is chancellor of UAMS.
The COVID-19 pandemic, and I want to salute everyone who has been called to action today to make forward progress on our collective efforts to ensure that the people of Arkansas remain safe, including Senator Hendren, Speaker Shepard, members of the General Assembly, Secretary Gillespie and your team at DHS, and Governor Hutchinson. And the announcement today by Governor Hutchinson and Secretary Gillespie will go a long way towards providing additional resources for rural hospitals. And what this will do is, while these resources will primarily flow to rural hospitals, this will help to stabilize the entire healthcare system of the state. And that's really critical to understand, because if we have a collapse in the ability to provide care in rural communities, that is only going to increase the burden on everybody else. So I salute you for the work that you've done. Thank you, and we're here to help support this effort moving forward. I do, as Governor Hutchinson said, wanted to also share with you some additional good news in our ability to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. As you will recall, Governor Hutchinson, working with Department of Finance and Administration and Larry Walter, have made funds available for large purchases of protective equipment. Now, I know you've heard that there have been national shortages of PPE, and this is a bottleneck in our ability to treat patients who may be COVID-19 positive here in the state. And I'm pleased to inform you that we have made a number of very large purchases of PPE that will be made available to healthcare professionals in the state. These purchases include 3 million N95 masks, 4 million surgical masks, 4 million disposable gowns, 2.1 million face shields, and 7 million gloves. These items are scheduled to begin arriving over this weekend. They will arrive in tranches. I can't promise you they will be here this weekend, but they are scheduled to be here this weekend. And they will be delivered to the government surplus warehouse in North Little Rock, and the Department of Health, working with the Department of Emergency Management, will determine how these items are allocated and distributed to healthcare providers across the state. So Governor Hutchinson, thank you so much for providing state resources to allow us to make these purchases, which none of us would be able to do on our own.
Good teamwork, and with that, we'll take any questions.
This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, listening to a live briefing. Now Governor Asa Hutchinson taking questions. Arkansas now up to 335 positive cases, including one additional death, a total of 3 deaths in the state. Let's listen now, Dr. Nate Patterson. Well, now he's stepping away.
Again,
Dr. Nate Smith.
That information just wouldn't be appropriate on individuals.
And I know it's a very tough time. There's also, we've received several phone calls from people that maybe a healthcare worker has tested positive and works at the Arkansas State Hospital. Have you guys heard of anything like this? Or, you know, are there any steps to make sure we're protecting healthcare workers during this time? I know it could be very tough, you know, when someone gets sick and then someone is treated.
Absolutely. Certainly, whenever we have a healthcare worker who's exposed or who tests positive, we work very closely with that facility as well as that individual to make sure that there are no additional contacts, or those who have already been had contact or are tested and quarantined at home. But I can't really comment on that particular situation. I don't have any information on that.
Yes. I understand that the president had a conference call with governors this morning where apparently he was encouraging people to be able to get back to work. And also there's the White House is supposed to be issuing some guidelines about opening up particular counties. Just wonder if you think that would be useful or...
Well, I was on the conference call. It was with a number of governors, and I was on it for a full hour, and I heard the president speak, and we spent all of our time talking about personal protective equipment, about ventilators, and about the status of COVID-19 in the various states. So I might have left the call before it got to any further discussion, but that was really the focus of our conversation today.
COVID-19 affecting the special
session? Well, it makes it very historic. We would certainly not be in the Coliseum at UALR, the Stevens Center, without COVID-19. And I applaud the speaker for taking really significant public health measures as we had distancing. But we also, it's a good example for the public as to how you can have this kind of gathering in the right circumstance. So it's very limited, but they're doing great work, and under difficult circumstances, the General Assembly has only met outside of the Capitol in two occasions since the state Capitol was built. And this is one that is the first time it's ever been in this environment, but it's necessary. Yeah, you go ahead.
Can you tell me if you are altering your model for spread and peak along guidelines that the Arkansas Health Association provided hospitals?
I've spent a lot of time on the modeling, as I know Dr. Smith and his team has, trying to figure out where we're going to be going in the future. The first thing you realize is there's a lot of different models that are out there, and we're learning day by day more information. We're going to continue that effort, and when we have confidence on it, we will act on it. But that's where we are right now.
So you would no longer say the peak is 1,000, or are we still?
No. What I said was that if we do all the right things, and we take the right protective measures, then when we get to the peak, we're probably looking at 1,000 individuals hospitalized. And so the key thing is that we do the right thing. So I think that's good. As it changes, if we see this increasing at a faster rate, if we don't see the public doing what they need to be doing, we can adjust accordingly. Steve.
Yes, sir. You fought's probably not too strong a word. You fought pretty strenuously to keep Arkansas Works in place. Could I ask you, sir, to take a moment to reflect on how the Arkansas Works program has altered this coronavirus dynamic from the state standpoint? What would be happening were it not for Arkansas Works? What would the impact be?
Well, that would mean that there would be a lot of workers that are above the poverty line. They're working, but not doing well enough to afford private insurance, and it means that they would not have coverage. And while their testing might be covered because we're guaranteeing the testing for everybody, that further health expenses would not be. And so under Arkansas Works, they do have that coverage. And we're even looking, as the secretary said, one of the provisions here is for the uninsured 1.4 that will even cover beyond that. But Arkansas Works certainly makes a difference during this time of crisis. Yes.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what's being done to help private practice physicians that may have already closed but can't use telemedicine, like a dentist or a doctor's office?
Dr. Patterson might be good to answer that, but I've talked to some of them, and they're anxious to go back to work. I'm sure some of them look at other ways to serve, but that's just a consequence of whenever we have this crisis. But Dr. Patterson?
Dr. Cam Patterson, yeah, so Chancellor of UAMS.
Have reached out to us. You know, it's a difficult moment for many healthcare providers, especially in smaller practices. The provisions that are provided here are going to benefit everybody, whether the money flows to you directly or not. I also would say that this is an opportunity to make a call to arms, because as we get busier, we are going to need more healthcare professionals, many of whom will be repurposed from one task to another task. And so I encourage people who feel that they're not using 100% of their clinical skills now to make a commitment that when they are needed, they're willing to be called.
Governor, how can nurses and other healthcare workers affect their neighbors when they came?
I asked them that. And the answer is that it will be very soon after we get the waiver, because the money is there, it's ready to be dispersed. It's just a matter of getting approval from the federal government. So we're hoping that it will be very quick.
Would you consider other payments, perhaps extending funded benefits to people who have been affected by this, restaurant workers, farmers?
Well, we want to look at the, I call it the Senate bill, but it's being considered by the House now. And it has a number of different financial provisions in there to help independent contractors, small business owners. And so I want to study it further, but I'm somewhat optimistic that there will be some financial assistance for those Arkansans that are really hurting because of the COVID-19. We've had to take extraordinary measures that's hurt their businesses.
I guess for Dr. Smith, on the hospitalizations going up and the change in reporting, can you say what's different about how they're reporting it now?
Initially, because we had very few, we were actually having one of our nurses call the hospitals, call the patients to ascertain their status as they got additional information on how they were doing. And that worked when we had smaller numbers. Now what we do is we have the hospitals reporting to us through HaveBed, and then we're calling them to confirm.
I have another insurance question. The rural hospitals are reimbursement on the tests are not matching the cost of their cost of providing a test, eye care. So that apparently the patients are getting help, are being able to take the tests, but reimbursement to hospitals is a problem in rural hospitals. Is there anything the state can do?
Well, there's
when
the...
Do you use
we'd be glad to look into that. The Medicaid reimbursement level is set by the state, and if it needs to be adjusted, we can look at that. Did you all have anything to add to that? Yeah, come on, Dennis. I like to have experts around that can help out on a good question.
So there are a number of things in the Senate bill that provide direct financial help to hospitals and rural hospitals. I believe the 2% sequestration cut has been restored. I believe the dish cuts have been restored. So the Senate bill has done a great deal on the rate sides that will be beneficial to rural hospitals.
Yes.
You said the state's portion of the program is not going to come from general revenue. So where is it going to come from?
So we have a large Medicaid budget, and we have a Medicaid trust fund that's also some of the reserves. And so in this environment, you're having some Medicaid services that are actually being reduced. For example, the elective surgeries, and so you're going to have some that's reduced. And so this is a way to take some and shift some of that to this emergency where it gets to the people that needs it. In addition, we have a trust fund that, if that needs to be utilized, that can be as well. But it's a shift of the Medicaid resources to cover this and to optimize the increased percentage of that we're getting from the federal government.
So on Arkansas Works, would it be fair to say the situation would be incredibly more, would it be worse without the expansion?
I'm going to let one of my health care, I tried to answer it, so Dennis, do you want to take it? Or?
So again, I think this is an area in particular that if we didn't have Arkansas Works, even a greater burden would fall on our providers through uncompensated care. There would be no way to pay for the care these individuals need and serve. The providers themselves then would be the safety net that would turn into uncompensated care for which they would not be able to get paid.
With that, thank you very much today. Thank you.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We've been listening to a live press briefing from Governor Asa Hutchinson. Well, it sounded like he was wrapping up, but he's taking one more question from Steve Barnes.
Are you aware of any telecom?
Yes. It's impacted my staff. I mean, it has been some challenges. My understanding is that the telecom providers have actually accelerated the speed, understanding that there's downloading and much more going on. So they're trying to adjust to it, but we have sensed some impact even within our office.
And that final question, they're addressing the efforts by people to file for unemployment benefits. Online, there have been challenges. Governor Hutchinson and state officials now walking out of the conference room there at the state capitol. To recap, Arkansas now has 3 deaths from COVID-19. That's 1 additional death for a total of 3 in the state. 2 deaths had been reported on Monday. The number of positive cases has increased to 335. That's up from 280 during yesterday's press briefing. 2 new counties also reporting cases, Lone Oak and Randolph County. And Governor Hutchinson said it's important to watch that the number of people being hospitalized is increasing in the state. He gave an address earlier today to the Arkansas House. It began meeting at 1 o'clock. It's not meeting at the state capitol, but rather here on the University of Arkansas at Little Rock campus at the Jack Stevens Center. That's to allow more social space. House is meeting here, but the Senate meeting over at the state capitol, working to address budget shortfalls because of the coronavirus. Governor Hutchinson said that a declaration has now been issued. It's a public health emergency designed to allow police to enforce the recommendation that limiting gatherings of 10 people or less. This is being done again as a public health emergency. Dr. Nate Smith with the Department of Health said concerning the number of people with cases now, 13 are on ventilators. That's up from 4 yesterday of the new positive cases. He said that there's 1 additional case at a nursing home in Whitehall. 42 of the cases total are in nursing homes. There's also 1 additional worker at the Briarwood Nursing Home here in Little Rock. Another key item from the governor was the announcement of an initiative designed to keep the healthcare system in the state afloat. He said, in particular, to keep the doors of rural hospitals and clinics open and to keep workers there employed. This will cost $116 million. Most of it will be funded by federal dollars coming from Congress, which is allocating funding. The state portion will be $25 million. He called it innovative, said he doesn't know of any other states doing this. He said it will require a federal waiver and is working to get that approved by the Trump administration, but said this will help the state. In particular, it will provide capital improvement payments to hospitals, clinics and physicians, increase the number of drive-through testing sites, also create isolation units for patients with COVID-19. It will also provide financial support for workforce safety and those who need to continue having face-to-face service with patients or people who fear they may have COVID-19. Governor Hutchinson said it will be flexible and will allow an immediate need for service. It will also allow clinics to expand their hours. It will also allow for the shifting of regular healthcare visits to now handling the visits with people who are sick. He said this initiative will also provide additional payments to support nurses and doctors. I believe he said that was an extra $1,000 a month for nurses, $2,000 a month for physicians. He said it's designed to incentivize them to remain on the job, especially as they're having to work long hours, to provide some financial support beyond just a sense of civic duty. And Cindy Gillespie with the Department of Human Services said it's aimed at frontline services for healthcare businesses that are really struggling at this point. So we'll continue to bring you the latest. We'll have more later this afternoon during All Things Considered. But again, three deaths now in Arkansas from COVID-19, a total of 335 cases in the state, and number of recoveries, 13 people have recovered. And Dr. Nate Smith with the Arkansas Department of Health said people who have recovered can help by donating plasma, which can be helpful in the research. But state lawmakers continuing to meet in a special session. It's expected to be a three-day session to allocate money to give formal approval that is required under the Constitution as the governor redirects money to address this medical crisis facing the state. We'll have more again this afternoon. You can also find more at KUAR.org. I'm Michael Heplin, KUAR News.